Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Hard to overstate what's riding on the next move in the Alec Murdaugh case. Yes, that Alec Murdaugh. What do you mean, case? I thought he's in prison for the rest of his life. Well, he's supposed to be. But the whole jury tampering issue might bring him back to the courtroom. The jury's verdict, guilty of murdering his wife, Maggie, youngest son, Paul, came down like a hammer. Back in 2023 now, it was the dramatic climax to a trial that played out like a Southern Gothic novel. Wealth, privilege, betrayal, and bloodshed against the backdrop of South Carolina Lowcountry. Which I gotta say, I was completely wrong about for the 2 years I made fun of it. It's freaking...
Oh, because you visited recently, didn't you?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to make... I'll say this. Colleton County, it's pretty, too. Got its problems, though. I drove through Colleton County.
I was just going to ask if you saw it.
I stopped at a gas station in Colleton County and had some delicious deep-fried peanuts, which I've never had. I know they have boiled peanuts. That's a thing in the South, too. But deep-fried peanuts, I'd never had that, so I tried that.
Not familiar. One of the vet techs that I used to work with is actually from Atlanta, I think.
Yeah.
And she always talked about boiled peanuts, and I don't even understand what that is.
Boiled peanuts taste kind of like peas, in my opinion. Like fresh from the garden peas. It has that.
Oh, not like
Not like canned peas. That's a disgusting flavor. No, like very earthy, very green type taste to them, even though they're not at all. You can buy cans of them online and like you can broil them at home. They're like, I encourage it. It's worth a try. They're not bad. Anyway, I drove through Colleton County and I was like, shit, like this is like, I even texted Bob Mata. I'm like, guess where I am? He's like, go find Becky Hill panhandling out by the side of the court.
By Walmart.
but we didn't, I did not go into that area. I it crossed my mind and I was vetoed by everyone else in the car. It was a very,
are you serious?
It was a very swift, let's get to the beach. And I had to say, you're right. I don't need to go sit outside the Colleton County Courthouse for a few minutes and take a picture. I'd rather just get to the beach as well. So we did. We went to the beach, went over to Hilton Head and was there for a little while and also stayed up the way at another one near Charleston, which I It's not on the top of my mind at this moment. I can't think of the name of the island. But it was a great time. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area. I get why people love it there. I get why people go there. I would consider living there.
Would you?
I would. It is on the more so like not necessarily Culloden County, but more in that general area towards Hilton Head and up towards Charleston is a beautiful city too. And so to place it all for you, this is between Savannah and Charleston inland a little bit. That's where all of this takes place. So anyway, amongst the wealth, privilege, betrayal, and bloodshed against the backdrop of the Lowcountry, now more than 2 years later, questions have shifted, not to the guilt of Alec Murdaugh, at least not directly, but to something more unnerving. Did the system follow its own rules when it put him behind bars? And that's what this is about. So if you're going to think for a second, I'm like, yes, let's give Alec Murdaugh a new trial because I think he's innocent. I don't know that he shot him either, but that's not any of my purpose in talking about this. The system screwed up. The system was broken. The system had a shady person in place that interfered with the law. And that can't become normal, no matter who you are trying in a court of law.
And you know what's interesting is this family. Well, I was going to say this family. I don't know much about his dad.
They were all.
Or was it his grandfather?
Yeah. The dad was before him. And he was in the law firm. I think he had something to do with the state too, or the county. And then the grandfather, they'd all been solicitors for the county. I believe solicitor is a title. I could be wrong. Just corrected on YouTube on the comments if I'm wrong.
Sure. But this family has spent an entire century, really, if you do the math, mm-hmm. at like gaming the system to work for them. But now this might come full circle that the system works for him. The irony here is just, it's delicious. I kind of like it.
Yeah. I mean, did he, my initial thought when we started talking about Becky Hill was, is there like an incentive for her to do this? Because at the end of the day, it probably is not going to be that crazy of a penalty. And if he's, you know, if he offered her like millions and millions of dollars or something, if he still had it, or some way of getting it, you know, I could
some
see someone,
channels,
I could see paying. Someone take, but I don't, I, there's no evidence of that. And I'm not accusing her of that. I'm not accusing him of that. I was just, you know, all those things run through your mind because there's so many, you know, little weird niceties that happen around, I don't want to say just these parts, but any part in the country where you have this sort of insidious, and incestuous relationship between government and the law and certain citizens. This stuff could happen anywhere. It's not just South Carolina Lowcountry, although it does provide a pretty good backdrop for it.
Yeah.
In December of 2024, Murdaugh's team filed a 132-page appeal with the Southern Carolina Supreme Court, or South Carolina Supreme Court, a document loaded with accusations that the trial was infected with unfairness. It's a fun word to use, infected.
It doesn't feel legal. It feels medical to me.
It does. That's why it's kind of a funny way to describe something in a mm-hmm. legal mm-hmm. sense. They didn't just point to one bad call by the judge or one disputed piece of evidence. They sketched a portrait of a case where, in their telling, bias seeped into the jury box, unreliable science was dressed up as fact, and damning character evidence about unrelated crimes overwhelmed the presumption of innocence. The state, led by Attorney General Alan Wilson's office, now has days to respond. While they've kept their cards close, no one doubts the approach will be surgical, dismantle, and the defense's points one by one, while insisting that even if there were minor errors, the core of the case against Murdaugh remains solid. The defense's biggest grenade is the jury tampering claim, and it's aimed squarely at a woman who was supposed to be the guardian of the courtroom. Colleton County Clerk of Court, Becky Hill, best-selling author. Oh, wait, they pulled her book because it was plagiarism.
It wasn't selling.
It was plagiarized. Hill's role during the trial was supposed to be administrative. You know, keep the records, manage exhibits, coordinate jurors. But according to sworn statements from multiple jurors, She strayed beyond those duties. One said Hill warned them not to be fooled by Murdaugh's testimony. You can't say that to jurors. Others claim she made comments about evidence and the case's direction while the trial was still in progress. Hill has since fallen from grace. In May of 25, she was arrested and charged of perjury, obstruction of justice, and official misconduct. The perjury count notably ties directly back to the Murdaugh trial. Investigators allege she lied under oath to then Chief Justice Jean Toll about giving media access to sealed exhibits. What's missing from the charges? Anything directly about jury tampering. That omission has baffled defense lawyers and fueled some public speculation. For Murdaugh's attorneys, Dick Harputalin and Jim Griffin, Phil Barber and Maggie Fox, Hill's arrest is gift-wrapped credibility as a credibility problem for the state. The argument is simple. If a state official communicated with jurors during the trial about the merits of the case, the law should presume prejudice. That's Remmer v. United States standard, a federal precedent that shifts the burden of the state, shift the burden to the state to prove the misconduct was harmless. They say Toll used the wrong legal standard when she reviewed the tampering claims, essentially forcing them to prove not just that Hill meddled, but that the verdict would have been different without it, a nearly impossible hurdle. The state will push back hard here. We'll say South Carolina precedent, State v. Green, controls, not Remmer. That actual, not presumed prejudice must be shown. They'll highlight that only one juror testified that they were influenced, and that even that account was equivocal, except then to expect them to paint Hill's behavior as inappropriate but not structural error, the kind of fatal flaw that demands an automatic do-over. But the appeal doesn't stop there. Another major front in the tidal wave of financial crime evidence allowed into trial. Over 6 days, the juror heard from at least 10 witnesses about Murdaugh's long history of stealing millions from clients, friends, and his own law partners. Harputalin and Griffin say this was a smear campaign, irrelevant to whether he committed the murders, and so prejudicial that it poisoned the jury against him from the start. Prosecutors counter that it was essential to the motive. In June of 21, Murdaugh was cornered. That morning, his law firm CFO confronted him about missing fees. Days later, a hearing in the Mallory Beach wrongful death lawsuit was set to expose his financial house of cards. State's theory was that he killed Maggie and Paul to create chaos, evoke sympathy, and buy time. And they'll point out that Murdaugh himself opened the door to deeper questioning when he testified about his relationship and state of mind. Then there's a battle over forensics. The prosecution argued that shell casings near Maggie's body bore extraction marks sufficiently similar to those from the Murdaugh family-owned 300 blackout rifle. That rifle was never recovered. Tool mark analysis. The method used has been criticized for its subjectivity and lack of objective standards, but courts have historically allowed it in. It was allowed in the Delphi trial. The defense also zeroed in on one unusual rebuttal witness, Charleston County Deputy Paul McMangle. To counter the defense's theory that Maggie's phone was moved by someone else after the murders, McMangle conducted his own experiment, tossing an iPhone around his office to see if it lit up like hers. Remember this? No data collection, no expertise, just a visual guess. The defense says this was wildly prejudicial. Do you remember this? In that I remember I was mowing my lawn listening to the testimony on whatever day that was, and was like, how the hell did this guy get on the stand? And he sounded like a dope too. He was,
yeah.
Like, how did you do that? Well, I basically
tossed it.
This is my dramatic reenactment, although I'm trying to be as undramatic as he was.
But don't hurt your own phone, okay?
Yeah. So, well, basically, I just looked and I tossed it. Sorry, like, and then what? Like, I tossed it more times to see how it landed. What the?
Nothing about that is a scientific experiment. Like, you know,
how did this get let into the room? I mean, it sounded like a drifter off of the highway.
Right.
That was like, can I have some money for Cracker Barrel? You know, I'm going to toss my phone there too. It was insane. And then came the Eddie Smith texts, the late-breaking wrinkle reported originally by Fitz News. Smith, a longtime Murdaugh associate, sent Alex a text the morning after the murders. Tell me what I heard is not true. Call me, please. The defense says they never saw these texts before trial, and if that they had, they might have leaned harder into their theory of Smith as an alternate suspect. The state insists the defense had access to all unredacted cell phone data, and that if the texts weren't seen, it was because they were removed in a privilege review process before prosecutors received them. Whether this is a misunderstanding or a Brady violation, a failure to disclose potentially exculpatory evidence could be another flashpoint for the Supreme Court.
Isn't that malpractice?
I could see that reading either way, if that's okay. True. Fitz News is saying that, I believe they're saying they've confirmed it. So they're the ones that are reporting that text exists. So let's say it does. Tell me it's not true. It was very specific in...
Tell me what I heard is not true.
Tell me what I heard is not true. Call me, please. Not true, .. Call me, please. I mean, if that's from Eddie, if that's from the guy, this is the suicide guy where, remember the car thing? Forgot about that for a moment. It's that guy who... Murdaugh wanted to have kill him in the back in his car.
Oh,
yeah. Forgot about that part of the story, didn't you?
Wow.
There's so many weird side parts to this whole damn thing. And if you're just learning about it now, go back in time on our podcast feed. You can start from the beginning. We have the trial of Alec Murdaugh, big red graphic. You can find it wherever you get podcasts and start at the beginning. There's thousands of episodes.
It's a giant blooming onion here, isn't it? Just like every layer is another huge morsel. Yeah. Wow.
Filled with
I forgot about that.
Filled with Alec Murdaugh's special sauce.
Don't.
What?
You're trying to get me to eat more.
No, it's just a sauce he whipped up in his kitchen. It's mayonnaise and a little sriracha. And a little Alec.
Rude.
Little Alec. Surprisingly, that's also what he calls it. Lil Alec.
Anywho.
But it's L-I-L, like a rapper.
Of course.
He also dresses it like one.
Oh. Puts a little googly eyes on it.
Well, let's see what Lil Alec thinks. Well, Alec, what do you think I should do? Should I pay out the insurance money or should I keep it? What's that? Lil Alec?
Your Honor, I'll hear from my defendant.
I'll keep the money, I think.
Oh, my God. Oh, it hurts.
Somehow we got Alec Murdaugh to have his penis dressed like a rapper and he takes legal advice from it.
Well, at this point, would you be surprised? I wouldn't.
Anything's possible.
It's lonely in prison, you know?
I bet there's been some Lil Alec conversations that have gone on. Or does Lil Alec go by Lil Alex? You know?
Maybe.
Maybe that's the differentiation of the whole damn thing.
Shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
I'm just going to go talk to my one-eyed friend. Okay, I'll be right back. Jesus Christ.
Now you're taking it too far.
Oh, now I am. Okay.
When the state's brief lands, it will be aimed at one goal, convince the justices that none of these issues, alone or together, undermine the fairness of the trial. Oral arguments could be set for the fall, but the ruling might not come until 2026. That means... another year of speculation, strategy, and slow drip revelations. But that's where we're at in all of this. Remember after Gene Toll punted it down the road, he said, well, it'll be a while before anything happens. Well, it's still a while, and we're kind of like coming in at maybe the halftime of a little while right now. Mm-hmm. But It's good to know where this is going. And when the decision finally comes, it won't just decide or for Alec Murdaugh his fate. It will signal how much imperfection South Carolina's highest court is willing to tolerate in the name of finality. Because if the conviction fails or falls, it won't be because a judge decided Alec Murdaugh is innocent. It will be because they decided the system that convicted him wasn't worthy of trust. In a state where the Murdaugh name once meant power, that kind of revoking cuts deeper than any verdict. It's going to be very interesting to see where this goes. I think he deserves a new trial.
Well, you know, if you believe in due process, he has to have a new trial. Yeah. That's what this comes down to. This isn't about if he's guilty or innocent. We know he's guilty.
I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Not that I think he's innocent. He knows something, and he might have done it himself. But at the end of the day, and I've thought about this now for the last 2 years, and I've watched many more trials in those 2 years. And I've been thinking about this for a while. The financial crimes, if they weren't part of the trial, if they hadn't been let in.
Okay.
And it was strictly based on the evidence of that night. I don't know that he would have been convicted. But I also don't know that he would have changed his story at the last second either. Because that was another, if he would have just kept with it and not testified, I don't think he would have been convicted if the financial things were not in there. I just don't know that there was enough to show that.
There wasn't. The evidence just wasn't strong enough, but it was all of that financial component that really just
shows he's capable of lying about basically anything.
And deceit.
And deceit. So, I mean, that's what sold it. I mean, so do I think he did it? Yeah. I mean, he had something to do with those deaths, it probably is ultimately just him. I wonder if, you know, there was something else going on and this was punishment for that, kill his family. And if you say anything more about it, we're going to kill your brother. We're going to kill everybody else in your family too. Could that be it? I don't think he'd be continuing to appeal this shit if that were the case, because you'd be risking that stuff coming out. If you were like, okay, I'm going to take this and you're not going to kill my family. Nor do I think Alec Murdaugh thought enough about other human beings to do anything for them that would pull him into prison for the rest of his life.
I mean, think about what he was doing to people. Yes, it's just money, but he was changing people's lives for the worst.
Yeah.
He was devastating people and he slept really well at night knowing.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. What mattered, what was happening for him. What was he going to get out of it? He just happened to get caught.
And I don't know that Alec Murdaugh is powerful enough to have anyone that he could pay to come do this hit.
However, he probably thought he was. Somewhere in that body, he thought that he was powerful enough in this world that no matter how he did it, he would get away with it.
Or
that
maybe he
smart enough and powerful.
Or maybe someone did do the hit and got the hell out of there. And that's why there was no bloody clothes for Alec, because Alec didn't change.
He didn't have to.
He didn't have to. He wasn't there. He was up at the house, or he was nearby enough where he could come back in. I mean, he did drive to the moms and everything too, but that was shown to be after the murders would have taken place. If I'm remembering my timeline right, and forgive me, it's been a couple years since we were heavy into this. But I believe he was probably close by. And it would have been his choice. It would have been ordered by him. I don't know if this is familicide, which it kind of really feels like it is, where he just, I think his ego wasn't going to be able to take everything being exposed about him. to his family. And that's why, rather than him feel that shame from them, they can't give them any shame if they're dead.
Right.
He'd rather miss them. He'd rather have sorrow that they're gone than take the grief and take the, you know, the harsh reality of everything you've been doing exposed to the people you've been trying to hide it from the most. And to a narcissist, that's like priority number one. I mean, It's like, I'll put your kid in front of a train if that means that I'm going to get this. That's how they think.
A narcissist is only looking out for themselves.
Yeah.
They don't care about the consequences of their actions and how it affects other people's lives.
And an extreme one like this, holy shit.
Yeah. And this guy is a caricature.
Yeah.
Of what they look at in psychology for narcissists.
And he's
the poster child.
And I don't know that the financial stuff should have been out of the trial. I think it really does help set character. And I think it all plays into a certain extent, because the state's theory was that he, you know, was feeling guilt and shame of all these things that were about to be exposed. I don't know how you tell that story without getting, I guess you could just say financial exposure of misdeeds or something of that nature. But
it would be
hard to tell the story without going into the details of what they actually were. But sometimes, you know, that sort of stuff is shielded. There's a cutoff at a certain point of what can be communicated about former crime or separate crime, other than just stating the crime existed, not to the level to which it did.
But I agree with you, though, because this paints a full picture of who he is as a lawyer, as a human, as a father, as a husband, that he could do all of this nefarious stuff to other people, that he might be able to do that to his own family.
Yeah.
I think it paints a very important picture here.
Mm-hmm.
It seems irrelevant to the crime, but the pieces of the puzzle start fitting once you see that financial piece, that he could devastate other people's lives without a fucking care in the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think put them over the edge.
Yeah. I don't know how you sit on a jury and hear that he did this stuff to people. And again, they have to take the crime into consideration. Ultimately, did he pull the trigger?
It showed he was mentally capable of it.
Correct.
And that's what it showed.
He could compartmentalize thought processes about people, and that people are humans and deserve dignity and respect.
In my layman's eyes, that's just as important as showing, okay, well, this piece of evidence connects to this piece of evidence. Physical pieces of evidence. We're talking about a mental component of this. Mm-hmm. So in order to have this relates to that, you have to tell that story.
I think you do.
I mean, it's just as important as a physical piece of evidence and telling the story of how one got from there to there. That's the same sort of journey, but so much of our court system doesn't take mental anything into consideration. And depends on the state that you're in. Some do, some don't. And that's kind of crazy, because at the end of the day, that's the basis of pretty much all everything that comes through those doors. Something mentally went wrong with someone. Someone made a bad choice. Someone, there was an accident, whatever it may be. It's the basis of damn near everything that their jobs are based on. I mean, same with policing. And I'm not criticizing police. I'm just saying it's idiotic how we train them. It should be more than half about mental health, about what you're going to be dealing with, because that's what they deal with. And they're not trained at all unless they get the training themselves. I mean, some areas have good training on it, or okay. But my God, that's, you're interacting with people who have personality disorders and are mentally ill more than someone working in the field in an actual hospital setting.
Yeah.
And they're out in the wild as well. So there's not the safeguards that would be there in a hospital type setting.
Correct.
And you have no training in it. That is insane. That is not, the officers deserve better so they can be more equipped, because it's mental. That's the fucking most of the job. Let's train them in the parts that matter most. What do you think, kids? Anyway, the obvious. Yeah. The obvious. But and again, not a credit. I they need this. They deserve it. You know, I have more empathy sometimes for officers when there is something where it was an overreaction or whatnot. Like, well, what's their training in this? Like, what do they, you know, I'm not saying everything is right or wrong by any means, but there are certain times where it's like, and
yeah,
like they're human. And what kind of training do they have to deal with this psychotic person they're dealing with and mm-hmm. trying to keep alive? And I mean, let's give them the frickin' tools to do their jobs. My God. Anyway, that's Alec Murdaugh. We'll see where this goes.
You know, even if he wins the appeal, he'd have, what, 27 years still in prison? And how old is he now?
I don't know, 60-something. I don't
know. Yeah, I mean,
he's going to die there.
Yeah.
And the financial crimes keep that, yeah. So it's yeah.
I guess it's
a dangerous precedent, and you take Murdaugh out of the equation. It's a dangerous precedent to put the Supreme Court to say that he doesn't deserve a new trial on this, because that says, okay, a clerk of court can directly tamper with a jury, and they can express their opinion to a jury, and mm-hmm. that if it goes, if another one happens like this and it goes back to the Supreme Court, well, they can cite case law from the Supreme Court. This is what they decided. That's not a precedent you want.
No.
Because it's a big no. This shouldn't have happened. And it's a damn shame it happened on this case.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened on, you know, some drunk driving violation. This is going to cost them for that those loose lips there.
Well, it's a test of the American justice system. Well, how is this going to play out? Is it a fair system for everybody?
It's not, and it's also a sign of, you know, change of guard too, because I think this sort of stuff has played out like this for so long in so many small towns, and I think there's a reckoning coming for it, where it's just, you know. Just because your grandpappy did it like this and that and that's not how we actually play ball. They were rigging it for those years. We're not going to do that anymore. So what are your thoughts? Tell us in the comment section on YouTube if that's where you're watching us. If not, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you'll find us there. You can do the reverse search over on wherever you're getting podcasts, anywhere, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Do the same search, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you can take us with you on the go. But please hit subscribe and let us know your thoughts on where you think Alec Murdaugh's future lies.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again. After last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free, select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate.
Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.